What is up, guys? Welcome to the Wise and Well podcast. I'm your host, Herman Lin. This is the show that helps make fitness and nutrition way simpler and more realistic so that you can improve your physical health without sacrificing your mental health. If you're new to the show and you enjoy it, hit subscribe after the episode so that you know when future episodes come out. Also, if you are looking to take your fitness to the next level, I offer one-on-one strength and nutrition coaching that is designed to help you build muscle, burn fat, and improve your overall relationship with fitness and nutrition. Just go to wiseandwellcoaching.com to learn more. Or just shoot me a DM on Instagram at wiseandwellcoaching. I will always respond to you. All right, guys, on to the episode. You just released a new cookbook, which is very exciting, and it's all about making macros simple. Which I think, is that the title? It's something like right around.
Very simple. Yeah. Look at you.
Oh, there you go. So I'm excited to chat with you. I actually just recorded an episode all about macros with Sarah Clark last week. So I really want to pick your brain today, just kind of about cooking with macros, right? Like how do you help people understand what do they actually need to know in terms of building out a balanced plate? What do they need to know about macros, and who has to worry about, you know, carbs, fats, proteins, things like that?
Well, I think hopefully we all should be thinking about carbs, fat, and protein in some capacity. It's just like how much and when of each one. And the other thing to keep in mind is that no one is going to track macros forever. Even if you're super scientific, you know, about doing the ratios in the beginning, at some point it should hopefully become intuitive. And then it's just real life, right? Like there are just times you don't have time to like calculate it out every time. But I do think, you know, you are going to make adjustments based on your activity level. You know, so I'm going to use myself an example. Last weekend, you know, I did this like running challenge where I was running a 5K on Saturday night, then had to get up in the morning on Sunday and then run a 10K. So I'm doing two races back to back. You know, my intake over last weekend, probably a day or two beforehand and then through the weekend, looked very different, you know, from a performance and recovery standpoint than it does typically during the week. You know, that's a good time for me to maybe have more carbs than I typically would. And it's not because I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm going to calculate the percentage out between like a 60-30, you know, 20 split by any means. But I knew it's like, okay, because of the amount of like output I'm going to be doing from a cardio standpoint and knowing that like my 10K was going to be the longest run I've done so far this year, I probably want a little bit more. Like it's okay for me to have maybe more white rice than I typically would, right? Or like brown rice for like a day or two. And then make sure too, like my recovery on the back end of that when I come home, that's just like having something that's a little bit more nutritious. I know you talk a lot about that with your clients too. It's just like making sure that not only are you eating beforehand, but also even after activity as well, like making sure you're replenishing your body too. You know, but for me, because I'm vegan, protein is probably the thing. Someone who eats plant-based, I feel like I know that from a ratio standpoint, protein is something I almost always need more of on a day-to-day basis, more so than my carbs or my fat intake, right? And so like, that's how I think about it is realistically think about how you eat. What are the foods that you naturally gravitate toward? And then adjust your ratios based on like, I always start with the thing I know that I'm most likely to be deficient in. It's typically not fat just because I eat a ton of nuts and avocado as like, I mean, I went on a vacation with a friend a few years ago and he said, he told his girlfriend, Rachel's eating like a healthy squirrel because of how much nuts I was eating, because I was so much trail mix I was eating while we were hiking and mountain biking and stuff. He's like, I don't really know what's happening right now. Consuming like this entire trip, you know? So I know fats is not something I know that like from my, what I need from a ratio standpoint, most days I'm good with my fat intake just based on that. Right. You know, I would say same thing for anybody who eats a lot of peanut butter. So I think a lot of times we make things more complicated for ourselves than we need to. It's just kind of go with common sense about what am I, your question you should be asking yourself is like, what am I missing? And almost always for me, that's protein.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you need to understand yourself and the things that you tend to eat, right? And tend to, and need to eat more of. I'd love to ask you too, just so being plant-based, what are like your main strategies to ensure you do get enough protein and enough of the right amino acids?
So protein powder, I use a lot. So like I have smoothie, if not every day, then it's every other day. Sometimes I might have more than one smoothie. And so I'm big on, I don't know, I mean, if it's okay for me to name a brand right now, I've been using Vega. Sure. And so that, like, I love their protein powder. Just because there's like multiple different kinds I've tried, because they also, and some of them add in some other nutrients, like you were saying, amino acids that you might, and I know for 100% that it's like plant-based and gluten-free. Mm-hmm. You know, if you, anybody has food allergies, always check the labels. Always, always, always. So yeah, that I would say, so protein, and I mean, a peanut butter, even if sometimes I already am using a protein powder, I will go ahead and just throw an extra scoop of like peanut butter or almond butter or cashew butter or something into my smoothie too with that. Or adding that to bread. I like to, my daughter and I both have a little bit of a sweet tooth. So instead of even going to like healthy bakeries, I know that it's better for me when I have time to like make things at home. So I almost always will add in like some type of nut butter into like baked goods that I'm making, whether it be like a sweet bread or muffins. So just being very intentional about that. And then I do a lot of like plant-based proteins. I eat like tofu is a big, like, you know, I make a mean tofu scramble now, but I'm not opposed to buying like Just Egg is probably the most popular like egg substitute brand that I buy. Okay. As far as like for an egg substitute, you know, and just being very conscientious about like every time I'm having like a proper meal, you know, it's just making sure that I have like, I can't do the whole like, even if I'm having a salad, I gotta have some sort of protein in that salad, if not, and probably more than one, whether I add in lentils, whether I put nuts on top, whether it's tofu, whether it's like, you know, some type of like plant-based, you know, meat substitute that I've bought, but just being very intentional about that, because I know that's something that I have to get, is to make sure, because if not, I heard a great quote somewhere recently where it was like, no, like, hunger, you know what I mean? Like if you are hungry, if you need an actual meal, no amount of snacking will satisfy a mealtime hunger. So that's kind of how I keep in mind in regards to like, if I'm having a snack, it's legitimately going to be snack. Like I'm going to have a trail mix, but if it's mealtime, then I'm going to make sure I have all the things that I need.
That's great. Yeah. And with protein powder in general, cause I actually use a plant-based protein powder too, only because I eat meat, a lot of it all the time. But I do, my stomach has just not been good with whey for a long time. And I've tried different ones, and every time I cut it out, you know, it's just, my digestion is just a little bit better. So I kind of just accepted the fact and moved to a plant-based protein. I use the Orgain one.
Okay.
They have the big ones at Costco, which is awesome. And I do love a plant protein powder for anyone that is plant-based, because they formulate the amino acids for you.
Yep.
Which is amazing. Cause that's, and I think that's the biggest thing for anyone that is listening that is vegan or plant-based. Like the biggest risk of it is, one, getting the proper quantities of all the amino acids together, which when you eat plants, so there's two things. One, you can mix plant sources. So you can mix rice or in beans together. You can mix different ones together. And if you do that, you're probably going to get the amino acids right. But a plant protein powder takes care of that for you, which is amazing. And then two, obviously just like B vitamins, some of the things that, you possibly could be deficient in, which again, I think it just takes a little bit of planning and just understanding.
Yeah. Another one I really like is Epic too. When I run out of my Vega before I can get more of it, cause I also prefer to get the big canisters, like you were saying, so you just know you're set for a while and I'm not suddenly, but Epic's one I can grab at my local food co-op, or if you're traveling, they make little satchels that you can take with, you know, and just toss them in your like carry on bag or your suitcase. So Epic Protein is another one that I like as well, that does a good job with that.
Yeah. I love also, if for anyone that, you know, if they're eating too much fat or they're trying to cut calories or anything, the powdered peanut butter it's amazing. Like it's basically a protein powder. They literally just keep the protein in and it takes out all the fat. So it's like 8 grams of protein, which it's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like 2 grams of fat. So, and there's nothing wrong with the fat. Like if I think you have to look at your overall diet, obviously, but for a lot of people, if they are looking and saying, well, you know, trying to cut calories a little bit on a fat loss phase, or if I'm trying to just get added protein in, it's great because it just gives you all the flavor of the peanut butter.
No, I agree. You know, because that's the thing. I mean, you can tell when you get used to it. Like, I'm sure like you, like I've got my smoothie combos that I do, right? You know, like you've got the matcha one and you got like the chocolate peanut butter one. And you can tell once you get like in a groove, you just change one ingredient, or you know what I mean? It's like you forget to put the cinnamon in or the agave or something. It's like, and you notice.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. For sure. Yeah, I think too, like the one thing I'll say with
the orgain powder is, it's not as flavorful as like the whey protein powders I used to get in the past.
Okay.
And like Legion whey is, it's almost like sweet, you know, like it tastes really good, but it overpowers the smoothies. So you never really had to worry about what else was in there.
Okay.
This is like, if I put nothing else in there, sometimes I'll be like, oh, it doesn't really taste like that much. which is fine as long as you have other things like the powdered peanut butter. But another thing like I'll put in is just like a little scoop of electrolytes.
Ooh.
Key nutrients, electrolytes, because it's got like, I have a blue raspberry one, which is awesome. And then that kind of creates a flavor. So you have to like dump a bunch of sugar in there or something.
Yeah. So it's natural.
Yeah. So there's other ways to flavor it too, but I completely agree. Like I did a mix the other week where I got this is a bad idea. I got the strawberries and cream orgain. I would not recommend that one. It's just way too overpowering. But I mixed that with the blue raspberry electrolytes.
Okay.
It was disgusting.
Okay.
it was such a bad combo. I can mix the vanilla with the electrolytes, or I can do the strawberries and cream and leave the electrolytes out.
Yeah.
But it's like, to your point, like I have to have that mix. And then once you have it, just don't tinker with it.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't tried putting electrolytes in my smoothie, but I know like sometimes one of the things I found out last year is I needed to start to roll back from my doctor. I was doing a little bit too much caffeine in the daytime.
Oh.
So I've had, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, I'm usually just good with one cup of coffee, but then I'll do like a caffeinated drink, like a bubbler, you know, like where it's like the caffeine is
yeah.
water, you know,
I love bubblers. Tea.
You know, yeah. So now it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to make, that's where I started making matcha smoothies thing, right? It's like, okay, like even, but then I got to forgo the espresso in the morning because I just toss the matcha into my smoothie,
yeah.
You know, and then maybe I can have like, still have the other caffeinated, like I said, water, you know, in the afternoon is a little pick me up or vice versa. You know, maybe I have my espresso and then I can do like the smoothie in the afternoon, but making sure I'm not taking all that down first thing in the morning together. Cause then I'm like, you know, my heart rate's like off the charts.
for sure.
You know? And but like Ayurvedic, I don't know how much you get into Ayurvedic principles. Like for me, I really like adding in different types of spices, you know, in my smoothies sometimes. So like, you know, like turmeric and like I said, the cinnamon and like nutmeg. Because again, like you were saying, there's other things that people can play around with. I mean, you can never say for sure that spices, how much of a health benefit, you know what I mean? They maybe have, but it's a different way to like switch up the flavoring a little bit too. You're right. Without adding just more sweeteners.
Yeah. And or to that degree, if you add in like if it's like a little bit of like a chocolate or peanut butter based smoothie, add in a little bit of sea salt on top.
Ooh.
And it's almost like a sea salt caramel smoothie. That is fantastic, too.
That sounds yummy.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a ton of ways to play around it, but I'm with you. Like, I think a smoothie to start the day from a protein standpoint specifically, like it just helps make it so much easier to know. Hey, like I'm already 50, 60 grams in for the day. So the rest of it is, you know, I can play around and I can get 30, 50, 60 grams per meal. And I'm probably in a pretty good spot for what I'm trying to hit. Yep. If I don't have that smoothie, it's just so much harder.
Yeah. I'm again, like you hit the ground running. Like I can tell you days where I skip it, I feel it. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that's the thing that we all do a better job of paying attention to as ourselves. I think once you start noticing those things, like, oh yeah, this really fuels me for the day. You know what I mean? That like, then you're more likely to continue with the habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So could you just describe, I guess, kind of like if you were to help somebody with a starting play, right?
Yep.
Like what is just like, and this, I know it's going to be different for everybody, but like, let's build out like a theoretical, just like a balanced plate. Like, what does that look like from a protein, carbs, veggies,
fats? Can I ask fats, what your dietary plan is? Like, can I say it from a plant-based person's perspective or does it like, you know what I mean? I would like to know what their, you know, what.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like they're eating everything and also like whether it's protein or carbs, like how, like, if you can use maybe like hand signs, right? Like if it's like a fist or a couple, like things like that, like just to kind of give people an idea.
So I would say if, again, you know, almost always, obviously, most of the time people recommend having like a lean protein. So I'm going to assume, let's say you're having like either like, you know, grilled chicken breast, since we're going into grilling season since the beginning of summer, you know, and, or let's say fish too. I mean, I think, again, depending on the cut of the meat, you know, your fist from your protein. I mean, I have pretty small hands. So if someone's watching this, maybe Herman's size hand, tiny hands. But, you know, I think that's a good measure for protein as far as if you're trying to hit that, like, is this legitimately one serving? I think that's a good ballpark. And then your vegetables, I mean, I'm a big believer in vegetables, like, you know, knock it out of the park. Have your side salad. Have, like, if you want to have some extra, like, fresh raw veggies, you know what I mean? I don't really feel like you can have too much of those things. You know, it's just, it's kind of like your water. You know, I'm like, if you feel hungry, that's the thing you should be loading up more on. But I think a good, you know, a good like portion of that would also be about your hand size, like on a plate. Like if you're just starting with that, especially if you're not having like a side salad as like a starter or on the side of anything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, or even after, you know, in a lot of European countries, you have your salad after your meal as like, help as like a digestive. So, you know, but that's what I would say there. And then your carbs, again, it's going to depend on where you are. I mean, I don't do a ton of white rice. I do, like I said, unless I'm running and racing, I know I'm going to burn it off. Usually brown rice, you know, potatoes. I don't do typically like full baked potatoes. I like more roasting potatoes. I know a lot of people like to do skewers of different things, you know, when like during, again, grilly season as well. But I would say for me, on an average day, normal fitness level, I would do about half. I would keep that to a half a portion size to the other things from my vegetables, you know, and my protein is like, depending on what the carb is. Like if you know it's my, that's what I would say as far as like a good plate to start with, as far as, and then to start to build up, you know, kind of, you can increase and decrease based on how you feel after you consume that. Cause you know, like your carbs typically and the protein and the carbs are the things that's going to take the longest to digest for your body to kind of break down depending on what it is. I mean, obviously if you're doing something that's more of a high processed starch, like bread, you know what I mean? That's going to look different than maybe how your body's processing like the brown rice. But again, I mean, so for buns, like with grilling season, if it's a full bun, I always cut those suckers in half. I don't care how you do it. You know what I mean? But I think that that's just a good starting point. Not saying that you're not going to eat the other half at some point, but just giving your time, your body time to process and see how you feel, I think is a good, you know what I mean? Like give it like an hour, because most of the time if you're grilling out, I'm using grilling as an example, you're hanging out for a while, right? So like what's an hour, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a starting point, right? And you got, like, I think the important part for a lot of people is get all those factors on there, on the plate. And I think I like that you also didn't even really touch on fats, right? Because I think the reality is, like, if you're making meat, you're getting fat in there, right? and I think for a lot of people, like, if you actually spend some time tracking, you know, and the oil that you use when you're cooking.
Yep.
And if you're using any kind of salad dressing, like all that.
Your condiments. You put mayo on that burger. You put, I mean, there's your fats. Like you don't need to worry about throwing something else in there.
which is okay. Right. Like I think it's fine to use those, but I think it's like, you don't really need to think about adding a ton of fat. Maybe to get some kind of healthy fat in there. Right. That's probably some kind of either avocado, an olive oil, or some nuts. Like if you just add those throughout the day, I think you're going to be in a pretty good spot from like not having to worry about fat.
Well, you remember, like I said, I eat nuts all the time. So that's also why I'm not thinking about.
Yeah. And then I think the carbs, you know, like again, it comes down like that one to me is so individualized. Like it comes down, like you just talked about like a half a burger bun. I'm like, I eat the burger bun and then I eat like a whole scoop of rice or, you know, like a whole, but I think you need to like kind of understand.
That's why you're doing more lifting than I'm doing.
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? That's why it's so individualized. And I think that's important is like, I would always keep the protein and the veggies as like a constant, right? Like that's just on every plate, no matter what. And then the rest of it, you kind of have to play around and you kind of have to understand what works the best for your body. But keeping like I think in general, just having that goal of having every plate balanced between all of those is important.
Yeah. No, 100%. And like I said, and it's going to be very different. Like I said, like I use the example of the grill out. That's going to be very different than like you coming home late from work one night and it's like 8 o'clock at night, right? That might just be like, hey, here's a quick stir fry. that ratio is going to look a little bit different. But, you know, especially if you toss everything in the pan together, right? Or everything into an Instant Pot together. But again, I think if you kind of think back to that basic of how, like, even if you get the ingredients out before you throw it all in one, like, pot together, you still will, like, hit the same proportions of what you're going for.
Yeah. What's great with it, too, is once you kind of understand your own proportions, then it becomes so easy to figure out what you're eating every day. Yeah. And just building that plate. Cause I think a lot of times are kind of like people get really overwhelmed with, well, what should I eat for this? And what should I eat for protein and carbs? And once you kind of understand like, okay, I have about a, you know, whatever it is, a palm size, a fist size, maybe it's two palm sizes, whatever it is of protein. And then I have this scoop of carbs. And then I always have like a third to a half a plate of veggies. Then you just trade them out. Right? Maybe it's chicken, maybe it's steak, maybe it's pork, maybe it's rice, maybe it's potatoes. Like you can trade them out and always kind of have new meals without having to worry about having like a million recipes.
Oh yeah, exactly. I'm like, and that's why, and then you can also like be like, okay, like if you want to try something different, it's like, all right, well then if you're not a big quinoa person, it's like, maybe I get some quinoa tonight. And that's what I use for my grain, or millet, or like you start, I mean, I think like, or like with farmer's market season we're going into, all right, let's just pick up. We saw some, you know, like crazy, like colored vegetable we haven't ever used before, or a different type of squash. So you take that home and you bake that up. And that becomes, I think, people giving themselves permission. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, making things different doesn't need to be complicated by any means.
Yeah.
You'll get that variety.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I almost, honestly, like every single meal too, I'll literally think about, okay, what's the protein?
Yep.
What's in the fridge? Okay. Doing that. What is the veggie that's in the fridge? Oh yeah. We have some green beans we got to use, right? Okay. We're doing that. And then it's so funny. Cause like my fiance will always make fun of me. Cause I'm like, well, what's on the side? She's like, isn't the green beans on the side? I'm like, well, no, what's the carb side?
Yeah.
She's like, do we need a carb side? I'm like, yes, we need a carb side. It's like, cause in my head, I'm always like trying to make that perfect proportion. And she's kind of like, I don't know. I thought we were just eating this.
The fish and the green beans.
Yeah. Right. But it's, I think that is like, once you kind of just start breaking into those little compartments, it just makes it so much easier to not have to worry about all the time. Like, what am I eating for lunch? What am I eating for dinner? Et cetera.
And then I know how much you coach me with the meal prep, but I also think too, for, I don't do a ton of meal prep unless it's like a super busy week, but I know a lot of people get into that. But again, that's where I think you can really get in a groove. If that's a system that really works for you. Cause like you said, you know what your proportions are. Boom, you get out the containers and then you just hook it up. You know what I mean? Just kind of get your lunches ready to go for the whole week, or dinners if it's like a super busy week at work or something. And so I think also too, that's where it can be really helpful for people as a time saving measure. If you are someone where meal prepping really does like help you from a life living standpoint, you know?
I completely agree. I don't do like a full Sunday meal prep where it's like, you know, you take hours and do all of it. But what we'll do is we'll just cook each, like if we're making steak, we'll make a bunch of it, right? If we're making rice, we'll make a bunch of it. And then in the fridge, it's literally like, here's the protein section, here's the carb section, and then here's the veggie section, right? And then you kind of just mix and match. Like, all right, like, well, I need one of these, I need one of those, and I need one of these. So it makes it super easy. I'm sure that's how your fridge is organized too.
Yeah, you know, although as mostly I have to keep it separated because my daughter actually, she will eat plant-based things, but she definitely still eats meat. So usually when I buy meat, like for her, I buy like pre-prepared. So that's it separate. And the dog, I will actually cook meat for the dog. My dog like seems to have a sensitive stomach. So she's eating like this combination. I got she's got her own rice, ground beef.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm prepping for the pets. I'm prepping for the kid.
Yeah. For me. That's awesome. So when you talk to people, and let's say that's like someone who just works out 3 to 4 days a week, you know, they're not super focused on performance, but they're trying to get fit, stay fit. They're also working a full-time job. Like when it comes to workout nutrition, how important is it for someone like that? And what do you adjust for them?
Well, one question I think we all should ask ourselves, we don't think about enough, is hydration. You know what I mean? I think that, so I think it's good to remind people that, like, you know, 3 to 4 days a week, you know, and like, again, like that's what you're doing. You should be hydrated before you start your workout. And then definitely make sure you're hydrating throughout, depending on what you're doing, if you can. And then afterwards, right? So staying on top of that is huge, because that also does impact how full you will feel when you eat. I'm sure you have conversations like this as well with clients, because I think that oftentimes, like, people, like, I see that even with my daughter, who's a tween now. Oftentimes it's like, you know, she's the fourth time she's gone back into the kitchen for something. I'm like, when is the last time you've had something to drink? You know, difference between hungry and thirsty. But sometimes we're not always like in that zone where we can distinguish between the two. So I like to always have them think about hydration first. It's just reminding them to like keep that as a priority. And then from the rest from their standpoint is just like, again, not everybody loves to eat before they work out, or you might be the kind of person that, like, you know, the first thing they do is they get up and like they throw on their workout clothes and they head directly to the gym, or they head out for that early run on the days that they're working out. And I think it's fine. You can get away with that, you know, depending on if, you know your body better than I do, but then you got it. Like the minute you get back within that first 20 to 30 minutes, you got to get yourself some real nutrition. Right. And so like we were talking about before, that's where those smoothies come in great handy from a recovery standpoint, you know. And then I would even advocate, if you know that like it's going to be, if you're the kind of person, the way that your day is laid out, that you're not going to have lunch for another 5 or 6 hours, well, then I would encourage that person to even add something in with that smoothie, right? That would be, you know, I don't care if that's toast with peanut butter and banana, if it's going to be like, you know, a quick, like one egg, like scrambled up egg. But I would also encourage them, because you realize like you started your day, which is awesome, getting your workout in straight away, but you've just like, you've outputted before you've really put anything in. And you got to get yourself then, if that's like 6:30 a.m., you got to get yourself possibly to noon or 12:30. Like if you know it's going to be a 5 or 6 hour time lag, be realistic again, because what happens, I think that's also how people get in those kind of snacking binges. Cause all of a sudden then if you don't get enough first thing in the morning, then you're like, you know, you get to like 10:30, 11 o'clock, you feel ravenous. Well, that's because you're shaking your head. Cause I know you get it. You're having these conversations all day long.
Yeah, no, those are great points. And I think the biggest point that you just made about the pre-workout nutrition, it happens a lot sooner than what people think and further away from the workout, because it really, I mean, like, I think we have to remember that it takes time to digest food, right? For you to be able to actually use it. And so what you eat 6 hours before your workout is really what's going to be fueling that workout, not what you eat an hour or 2 hours before. And that was like a big thing that really changed for me when I kind of learned that, is I used to always, and so many people do this, right? Is like an hour or two before, you're like, oh, I need something before my workout. Yep. And so like you'll eat a protein bar or whatever it is. And what that does is it essentially just spikes your blood sugar a little bit. Right. So, which could be good, right? If you're like, especially if you're someone that's like, oh yeah, I get a little bit lightheaded, and I need a little bit of energy for my workout. Cool. It also could be bad. Like for me, I honestly don't even really eat anything that's like a couple hours before, because I kind of get that little spike and then go back down even by the time I get there. So I really like the sixth for that breakfast. I try to work out around lunchtime.
Yeah.
For that breakfast, like I really have a big breakfast now, and I added carbs to that breakfast. So when I go to the workout, like I am fueled. I am ready to go.
Yeah.
And that was a big game changer. So I think that's important for people listening. Like if someone is, you know, a lot of people go to like Orange Theory after work, right? And they'll eat like a salad for lunch, and then they'll have a protein bar at like 4 and think that's going to get them through the workout. And then they're like dying during the workout. Right. So change that out. You can keep the protein bar if you want, but eat something for lunch, eat something that's going to fuel you, eat some protein, some complex carbs, hopefully like some kind of whole grain or something that is going to get you energy throughout the day. And you're going to feel, I think, a lot better.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then also making sure that it's like, you know, like I said, and then you give yourself something within that first, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, hopefully afterwards. And again, it doesn't need to be that, like, you know, you don't need to like actually have your dinner the minute you walk in the door, but at least give yourself something. You know what I mean? I know like some people really like chocolate milk. Some people like vitamin waters for that, because they at least know they're replacing their electrolytes. You know what I mean? But I definitely think you need to like put something in, you know what I mean? Being just, especially if, you know, again, you're not going to be having dinner for like 2 or 3 hours, you know, then because you did just, you burned some stuff, which is what you were there to do. But like, again, you don't want to get the dinner and then feel like you just like you overeat, because like, you know what I mean? Cause then, you know, like you said, you just burned it.
Totally. And some of this is, there's like the, science of this, right? And I feel like we kind of geek out about that, and we understand like this is what's optimal, and like that would tell you that the whole like post workout nutrition isn't as important as we think. And it's like, as long as you eat within like 2 hours, you're not going to lose any muscle protein synthesis or anything like that. But I think there's also like the just how you feel, which is not necessarily science, right? But like you could tell a big difference if like you go 2 hours, even though it might be fine from an optimal window, versus like if you have some chocolate milk after, right? Or you pick up a protein bar on your way home because you know you're not going to eat for like another hour and a half. I feel so different, right? Just from like a recovery standpoint.
I start to feel like I'm like half asleep. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like instead of it being like it feeling like 6 or 7 o'clock, I feel like it's 9.
Yeah.
It's like, what's wrong with me? It's like I'm slipping into some kind of, like, you know what I mean? I feel lethargic. That's how I know. It's like, okay, I need some sustenance because, you know, I've depleted myself in some way.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that post workout window too is really where I focus on getting extra carbs, you know, even beyond what I'm used to, especially if I'm strength training. I feel like it just makes a world of difference. Like I really, before I was kind of like still making it kind of like a really balanced plate and just putting a little bit more carbs. I recently have just essentially doubled the carb portion.
Okay.
And I've taken the veggies down. I still eat some veggies. Like it's usually just like a little side salad.
Yeah.
But I've taken down a little because before it was just so much volume that I couldn't actually get the calories in because I was just getting bloated and full.
Okay.
So now it's like a really carb heavy, protein heavy meal. And then I'll eat more veggies later, like around dinner.
Yep.
And kind of get those micronutrients in.
Okay.
But that's made a big, big difference in my recovery.
So you kind of leave this. So you're like putting the veggies more toward the latter, your latter, like you round out the day with that rather than trying to get it in with the other stuff, because you're more like, you're just really trying to make sure you're energized to carry you through the really the solid, more, I would say, active part of your day.
Yeah. And I really try to eat like kind of just easily digestible veggies if it's a post-workout. So like, it'll just literally be like romaine, lettuce, cucumber, and tomato.
Oh, okay.
Something that's just super easy. Cause if I add like broccoli or like asparagus or green beans, I would just get full and I can't finish the protein, the carbs, which I need. And then I'm just kind of bloated, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. I kind of live by like the, like, you know, again, like dinner, obviously I flex that just depending on the day and like where I'm at. And sometimes I'm at events or whatever, but my kind of how I run the rest of my day is like, usually I would say like, depending on the time of year, it's like smoothie, salad, soup, right? Like you were saying, those easy meat, depending on what your salad is made up of, that might not be as easily digestible, but like soup and smoothies, you know what I mean? Like I said, like, you know, that is something that, again, I can put as much sustenance as I need there into them as far as to kind of like help fuel me, but then also, you know, my body is not gonna like that processing, like it just kind of keeps me moving. I know a lot of people get into like the intermittent fasting, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But for me, I'm like, but I do think there's something to be said about, especially if I've had a heavier dinner or I know I'm gonna be going into one, kind of setting your body up to like make it easier for it to process things. You know, we all need that, right? Like it's a part of the recovery.
Yeah. And I think that's a big one in general is like, you just need to kind of understand what your body digests well and what it doesn't, you know, like that's when people talk about like protein timing, how many meals a day, all that kind of stuff. Like I really go back to, okay, what's your total calorie target? What's your total macro target? And what is the easiest for you to digest based on that? Right? Like for some people, that's going to be 6 meals a day.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's going to be 3 big meals a day.
And also what's easiest for you to prepare. Right? Because I think what pushes people up is that they try to make themselves stick to these like nutrition or meal plans. That's just not realistic. Like nothing about how it lays out fits with your lifestyle. Like if you know, like you said, like if you know you have like 1 or 2 days at the beginning of your week to prep and that's what works for you, you know, versus then trying to come home and like, you know, and make these special meals or like snacks, you know, and they're wondering why they can't stick to it for more than like a few weeks or a month or something. It's because like nothing about this fits with your day-to-day life.
Totally. What would you say for someone who does work out first thing in the morning? Like how do they think about nutrition then maybe the night before or before the workout? What would you tell them?
Oh, I would say, I mean, again, like you don't want to eat so much, you know what I mean? That like it's hard for you to sleep or you're uncomfortable or whatever like that. But what I do is because I do prefer to get my workouts in the morning on days that it works best for me. Like this morning I'm doing aerial yoga. So I didn't really want to eat. before I'm upside down, right? But I usually have my coffee. So that would be my little, like you're talking about the protein bar. That's my like little energy sugar spike is having my coffee and energy boost for that. But then if I know I'm doing that, then the night before, that's where I'm going to have, like, I'm going to make sure my dinner, like that you were saying, like I'm going to get up early and I'm going to also, but the night before I'm having like protein, solid protein. And then also I'm going to have more carbs than I probably typically would too.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And I think when we say all these things too, because I used to be in the camp of like, I played football in high school.
Yeah.
So when we talk about like pre-performance dinners, you know, it's like the carb loading, like it was like catered pasta and you have like six plates of it. And like, that's not what we're saying at all.
No.
Like it's, I think it's such a slight difference of what you need to add on. Like it's literally like a scoop of carbs.
I was gonna say, I'm talking like an extra half a cup of rice. Like I had last night, I had like this like this chickenless like orange chicken, and so I just had like an like a other like half a bowl of brown rice because I knew I was gonna be arioga this morning.
It doesn't take much. And I think, you know, the biggest thing is, again, like play around with it and understand, like I think you start getting into a range where like, now I know, okay, if I have a workout that lunch and it's going to be a heavy strength training one, like I'm going to try to get, you know, between 60 to 100 carbs, 60 to 100 grams of carbs for breakfast. And then after, like, I pretty much just have my, like, it's, I just take one cup of dry pasta. I cook that. And that is my post workout meal almost every single time, because I know exactly how many carbs I'm getting and it's exactly what I need. So I think play around with that yourself too, and kind of understand like how much before and after makes you feel the best.
Yeah. And also that timing too, right? Cause like some days you'll like, you know what I mean? Like some days you're just being realistic about and planning that in your day. Cause I do think sometimes you just like, you know, you're like, okay, like knowing that maybe if I shouldn't have like a meeting that I have to do like 20 minutes after I'm going to be done with this, cause I know I need something. Yeah. I can give myself time. So being like, you know, being realistic and giving yourself the time to do what you need to do for self care.
Yeah, for sure. I know you have to run. So we can close the loop and then maybe we do like a part two, because there's definitely still other things to talk about on this subject for sure.
I love it.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Rachel. Do you want to just tell people where they can find you, find your book, and anything else you want them to know?
Yeah. So I'm Rachel Werner. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok and LinkedIn and at The Real Script. My book, Macro Cooking Made Simple, is out and about. You can get it on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, your local independent bookstore if you want to support small business owners. We all love that. And then, yeah, you can reach out to me via email at rachelwernercontent@gmail.com. And I just like, please, I love to chat with people and I can't promise I can answer all your questions, but you guys know Herman, so I'll just send you back to him. If I could get a question that I can't answer.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for coming on again, and everybody go buy the book. All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.